Our first reading is from Acts chapter 10, verse 34 through 43. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he both did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read responsively to Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shout of rejoicing in salvation, echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise as we greet the gospel, and you all do not have to sing, but we'll have a choir welcoming the gospel for us this morning. Thank you. Now, if you're keeping score or keeping count of alleluias, you maybe have to decide whether you count the men separately from the women on that one. But we added at least another dozen or so in that moment. So this is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Alleluia. Of all the different natural disasters that we occasionally have to deal with in Pennsylvania, earthquakes are not very high on the list. In fact, as someone who works with emergency management, I can tell you earthquakes are barely on the list at all. Flooding and blizzards and flooding caused by blizzards and forest fires, even the occasional tornado. But earthquakes are not a threat or hazard that we encounter very often in Pennsylvania. In fact, when you search for earthquakes in Pennsylvania on the internet, the first website you encounter, the one that is maintained by a government agency, which is what they always tell you in school is the most credible, is a website from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, and it talks about the earthquake monitoring equipment in Pennsylvania, and it mentions only two really notable earthquakes in recorded history. The strongest earthquake in Pennsylvania history was in 1998. The epicenter was up north near Pymatuming Lake. The reports of it indicate that very limited structural damage was reported. Most people didn't even notice. The other earthquake that it discusses took place in 2011, and it didn't even start in Pennsylvania. It was a bit stronger, and it started in central Virginia. But the shockwaves moved enough that supposedly it did register on equipment here in PA. Now, I can honestly say that I do remember that earthquake in 2011. I can even claim that I was a bit closer to where it started. I was in college at the time in West Virginia, a good 50 or 60 miles closer to where it started in Virginia. I remember the day pretty specifically. It was fall. It was the beginning of the school year. I was standing in front of the Lutheran campus chapel helping to pass out lemonade, as we did often during the first few weeks of the semester. And then I got a notification on my phone from the university that some buildings were being evacuated, but do not be alarmed. There is no hazard at this time. What the heck does that mean? And then shortly thereafter, folks started walking down the sidewalk and saying that they had been in their classrooms or their lecture halls and had seen some of the hanging lights swaying ever so slightly. And some in some of the more high-tech, science-y engineering buildings had had to leave. The fire alarms went off. They had been triggered because of the equipment that was in those buildings that looked for shockwaves. Frankly, most of the people, even though they saw the swinging lights or they heard the fire alarms, they didn't feel a thing. And me, standing outside on a sidewalk, I didn't feel it either. Later in the week, there was a political cartoon in our student newspaper showing a lawn chair that was tipped slightly to its side, and the caption, "I survived the Appalachian earthquake of 2011. Earthquakes in Pennsylvania or West Virginia or really anywhere in Appalachia or the East Coast are not much of a threat. They hardly even can count as natural disasters because at least here, they rarely cause much damage. I imagine that there are very few among us today that can honestly say they've ever felt an earthquake. But in other parts of the country and other parts of the world, they're a fact of life. They're something that you sit up and take notice of. In California, school kids practice earthquake drills the way that our kids practice fire drills or tornado drills. And in other parts of the world, even other developed parts of the world, earthquakes cause huge damage and destruction. It was just 2 months ago that there was a major earthquake in Turkey and Syria that probably did not get nearly as much attention from the news as it should have. The death toll, which is still rising as more bodies are recovered, is over 57,000 people. Now, that's not a number that is easy to visualize, so I did a little bit of reading to figure out how to look at that. 57,000 is more than the population of the city of Johnstown. It's less than the population of Cambria County, but 57,000 is more than 3/4 of the population of Somerset County. 57,000 people dead. Another 200,000 people injured. Hundreds of thousands losing their homes and property. In that part of the world, when the ground shakes, people notice. And So it's no coincidence that the setting for the gospel, the city of Jerusalem, not too far from Turkey and Syria, it would have been a place where people noticed the ground when it shook. St. Matthew certainly noticed. Now, all throughout Scripture, earthquakes are used or talked about as signs of God, either of wrath or maybe just a sign of God doing something. But the Gospel of Matthew speaks about earthquakes a little bit differently. If you were here last week when we heard from the Gospel of John, I encouraged you to think about the parts of the story that you remember that you didn't hear. And an earthquake might have been on that list, because the Gospel of John does not mention an earthquake when Jesus died. The Gospel of Mark does not mention an earthquake when Jesus died. The Gospel of Luke does not mention an earthquake. But Matthew mentions two. When Jesus dies and gives up his spirit, Matthew tells us at that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. That's the first of Matthew's earthquakes. And the second comes in what we heard just a moment ago. When the women come to the tomb on Sunday morning, they're coming to grieve and mourn, to visit the tomb of their beloved friend Jesus, when an angel descends from heaven and rolls away the stone from the tomb, and there was a great earthquake. Now, there's some debate over whether the earthquake was the angel's landing, whether the touchdown was that hard, or whether it was the power required to roll away the stone or what. But people noticed. They felt it when the women came to the tomb and found it empty. They just didn't know what had happened quite yet. In our corner of the world, an earthquake is hardly noticeable unless you're standing right on top of it. But throughout Jerusalem, throughout all of the countryside, they would have felt when the ground shook. They would have known that something was happening. Something was different. Something happened the day that Jesus died, at that moment that he took his last breath. Something happened the moment those women came to the tomb and found it open and empty. He is not here. He has been raised. Matthew doesn't have too much more to his story. We hear the angel tell the women to tell other people about what they've seen. And then we hear Jesus appearing to the women and reinforcing that, telling them to tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee, and I will be there to greet them. And then there's hardly much more than a few paragraphs in Matthew's story before Jesus does meet the disciples in Galilee. And he doesn't tell them, hey, pretend that never happened. He doesn't tell them to keep this a secret. He tells them, go, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, tell people what you've seen. Tell them what you've heard. Tell them what you felt. People around the countryside that day that Jesus died and the day that he rose from the dead probably felt the earthquake but didn't know its significance until they heard the story from the women or the disciples or heard it get passed down again and again. And once they heard that story, it wouldn't have taken much for them to reconcile that with what they had felt themselves. They had felt the ground shake and tremble. They knew that throughout all of history, earthquakes were a sign of divine power. Why would this be any different? Especially when they were told that the ground shook the moment that this man called the Son of God died. And it shook again when they found that he was not dead. We may not feel earthquakes very often here in Western Pennsylvania. But the shock waves from those earthquakes 2,000 years ago are something that we can feel. We don't get to see lights swaying or buildings shaking. But we can feel it in our hearts. Those shock waves are still inviting us to come and see and feel God's love. Because we know, as people of faith, we know that God gave his only Son to die for us. And then when people thought it was all over, that there was no hope left in the world, God showed that death had no hold over the Son of God. And death will not have any hold over us, God's other children. The earth will tremble and shake, and buildings will crumble before death ever gets the last laugh. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Our hymn of the day today is Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. It's another one where we get to break out those alleluias and talk about the power that death does not have over us. So I invite you to rise and sing along.